Blog Talk Radio.
The blood that washed my sins away. This is a story of long ago, of a man who owned a little store. And I was mighty proud to have my name up over the door. This was some 2,000 years ago, as I recall. Located in Jerusalem, across the street from Pilate's Hall. I had everything I thought I'd ever need. Folks had come for miles around, regardless of their creed. The only thing I had I didn't think I could ever sell was in a corner on a shelf, three old rusty spike nails. And then one day, a big Roman soldier came through the door. He walked up to me, it seemed he shook the floor. "Can I help you, sir?" I said with a voice I guess seemed frail. He looked at me with a sneering grin. Said, "I want to buy some big, big nails. Three old rusty spikes is all I have, sir." He said, "For me, that'll do. For the job I have, three's enough. How much do I owe you?" He placed some money in my hand, and I was glad to make the sale. Then I wondered, and I asked him. I said, "Sir, what can you do with just three nails?" He said, "Did you ever hear of a man called Jesus the Nazarene?" "You mean the one who goes about doing good?" He said, "Yes, that's the man." He said, "Well, today I intend to show the world that I'm boss. But with these three old rusty spikes, I'm going to nail Jesus to the cross." I stood there almost numb. You'll never know how I felt. I said, "Please, sir, don't do that." As down on my knees, I knelt. He just turned and walked away. I got up and followed him. I said, "Please, sir, I'll buy them back." But he just looked at me and grinned. But across the distance, I could see the howling mob through the tears that filled my eyes. "Away with him, crucify him." I could hear their angry cries. And over all the groans and the pains of agony, I could hear the sound of a hammer as that big Roman soldier nailed Jesus to a tree. With three rusty nails, they nailed Jesus to the tree. The sun turned to darkness on that day. 'Twas the day that Jesus died, and the blood flowed from his side. The
That was Jimmy Davis singing Three Rusty Nails, a Christian classic. Welcome, 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 my precious brothers and sisters, to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope that this moment, this hour, finds you well. As for me, I've had a long day in the Lord, a happy day, being with God's people throughout the day, visiting different homes and fellowshipping with the saints and praying and holding hands and staying in the presence of God on behalf of God's people. What a wonderful day today. Well, in a few hours, I'll be with you again for prayer. Tuesday night prayer is the most important service at Grace Church. And I hope and pray that you would join us each and every Tuesday. If you ask me, "Pastor, I could only pick one, Manna from Heaven or Tuesday Night Prayer," I said, go to Tuesday Night Prayer. Why? Well, that's where God changes us. When we pray, the Lord changes us. We think he's changing our circumstances. We think he's changing the world. We think he's changing sinners. In actuality, God is changing the saints. It always starts with the saints. So join us tonight at 6:50 for prayer. We have a half hour of Bible study, wonderful Bible study where we're looking at this book called The Power of Prayer, The Revival, The New York Revival of 1858. And we're trusting that the Lord will give us a revival in St. Johnsville. So join us tonight. After the half hour of instruction, we go into an hour of prayer, intercession, seeking the Lord, asking God to do for us what we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves. Well, this is our 21st study of the year. Can you imagine that? I remember doing series one. This is our 21st series. This series is entitled, Can a 1,000-Member Church Established in One Day? The title is a question. Can a 1,000-member church be established in one day? Now, I know that for many of you, 1,000 people at Grace Church seems like a fable. This is a fairy tale. This is a myth. This is a pipe dream, Pastor. Oh, but I'm here to prove to you this week that if we get God involved, if we put God in charge of Grace Church, if we allow the head of the church to be the head of the church, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, I'm here to tell you that a 1,000-member church to the Lord is nothing. What seems impossible to men is possible to God. Our scripture text comes to us by means of the evangelist prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verses 7, 8, and 9, it reads, before she travailed, speaking of the church, before she travailed, what is to travail? Travail is to pray. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who's the man-child? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must be front and center, saints. Verse 8. This is the text we're going to be dealing with today. Who have heard such a thing? Pastor Torres keeps talking about a 1,000-member church. Who's heard of such a thing? That idea at Grace Church of a 1,000-member church, that's in the realm of fairy tales. That's a pipe dream. That's something out of Alice in Wonderland. Who have heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? We'll stop there. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I ask you for strength. As I've been talking all day and ministering all day, and my throat has pretty much had it, oh Lord, touch me from head to toe. Allow me to convey with clarity what your word teaches. Impart faith to your people, Lord, who hear what I say to them about a 1,000-member church, and they say, poor pastor, poor pastor. Pastor is off his rocker. Oh, but Lord, we turn to your word. It's your word that presents before us such amazing things. And we can have them by faith. By faith. by faith. Bless us, O God. Bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to be dealing with biblical questions and biblical answers. Biblical questions. There are three questions in the portion of Scripture that I want to deal with today. For example, the first question, who heard such a thing? That's the first question. Who's ever heard of such a thing? The second question is the follow-up question. Who has seen such a thing? And the third question for today, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? And all of those questions are a yes if it's God-led, and a no if it's a human enterprise. Listen to me, saints. If man is leading this thing, man with his worldly ideas, pipe dreams, then I can tell you it'll never happen. But this is God speaking. This is God speaking through the prophet. And God poses three questions in order to remind us that he can and that he will. He can and he will. Why? Because he hears and he answers prayer. And what is the will of God? What is the will of God? The will of God is, and in fact, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, this is the great chapter of prayer. Our prayer meeting called Prayer First Prayer Meeting. Look at this text. Look what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all of those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, here's the key text. Who will have all men to be saved. There it is. If St. Johnsville has 4,000 residents, if the population of St. Johnsville is 4,000, and God would have all to be saved, that means that we at Grace Church can expect 1,000 of those 4,000. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the gospel truth. There it is. What is the will of God? His will is that all men would be saved. So when I say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, when I pose the question, can a 1,000-member church be established in one day? Well, if God is leading the charge, if God is at the helm, if God is directing us, as I believe he is, then it will happen. Why? Because it is the will of God that all men be saved. It's his will. This is his desire. So, look at the three questions. Who have heard such a thing? That's the first question. It's a biblical question, and it can only be answered by the Bible. Biblical questions demand a biblical answer. Who has heard such a thing? Turn with me to Genesis 18. Let's go to Genesis 18. We were here yesterday. Genesis 18. Starting at verse 11, you need to make a correction there. There's a typo there, so you need to write down Genesis 18, 11 through 14. Genesis 18:11 reads, now Abraham and Sarah were old and were well stricken in age, and it ceased to be Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure my Lord also being old? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You see, God appears to Abraham and Sarah and says, listen, you're old. Womb does not function as the womb of a young woman. Your womb is past its prime. Abraham is past his prime. But I will rejuvenate you both. I will visit you. Look what it says in verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. He can rejuvenate. At the appointed time, I will return. That's a visitation. That's a divine visitation. At the appointed time, I will return according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. But who's heard? Listen, nowhere in literature, nowhere. Show me the book. Show me the story. Show me where there's been a man that's 100 and a woman that's 90 and they have a child. Show me anywhere. Who has heard such a thing? Well, God promised it. He made the promise. Who has heard such a thing? Who's heard such a thing that a church like Grace could have 1,000? Well, we studied last week, and we saw that from one, God can give 1,000. Who's heard such a thing? Well, it comes out of the mouth of God. These insane things, like you're 100 and she's 90, but you're going to have a child. These so-called insane things come out of the mouth of God. Who's heard such a thing? We have. When you read the scriptures, we've heard it before. Who has seen such a thing? Well, not only does God make the promise, he fulfilled it. One thing is to hear something. One thing is it's another thing to see it. Right? One thing is to say, you know, one day, I'm going to be a millionaire. The other thing is to actually see the money in the bank account, to see if you have the discipline to save, and not spend, to make the right deals, to get the right breaks, to get the correct tips that will make you a millionaire, to have the right connections. One thing is to say, one day I'm going to be, you can say it all you want. You can make that promise to yourself all you want. You can make that positive declaration. You can stand in front of a mirror and say, you see me? One day I'm going to be a millionaire. You can make all the positive declarations you want. And when your family hears you saying that, oh, he's just crazy. So one thing is to make the promise. The other thing is to fulfill the promise. Who has seen such a thing? Well, let's turn to Genesis 21. Genesis chapter 21. Let's see if God can pull it off. Genesis 21.
And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said.
And the Lord what? Visited Sarah. What does Grace Church need? What does St. Johnsville need? What does the Reformed Church need? What does the Lutheran Church need? What does Bethesda Christian Center need? What does the Methodist Church in St. Johnsville need? That poor church where they're about to put the padlocks on it at the end of the year. What does the Methodist Church need? Does it need a denominational leader? Does it need a bishop? No, why? The bishop and the denomination did nothing for the Methodist Church. They let the church die right in front of their eyes. What does the Methodist Church need? It needs a visitation of God. That's what we need, saints. So it says, again, let's listen to the text.
And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. But Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son.
You see, it's not just who has heard such a thing, but it actually happened. There is the baby. She's nursing the baby. There's a little Isaac. It's not a figment of their imagination. There he is, crying at 2 a.m, wanting to suckle. There he is. Abraham had a large contingent of servants. Sarah didn't give birth by herself. There were midwives there. And for 9 months, they saw Sarah's belly grow. Who has heard such a thing? But God visited her. And then who has seen such a thing? In their old age, Sarah and Abraham were using walkers. Think about that. Walkers. 100. But that, my brothers and sisters, is what God can do. If Abraham and Sarah die without children, without a son, the church dies. God will always give a church a new generation. And that's what we're praying for at Grace. Before we all die off, we're asking God to give us 250 children, 250 young people, 250 young adults, couples, young married couples. So you have the little itty-bitty children, 250 of them. You have 250 youth. You have 250 young people ready to start families. That's 750. Sprinkle in a few people like me, another 250 like me, and we have our 1,000. Who has heard such a thing? Well, God has made the promise. And whatever he promises, we can answer the question, who has seen such a thing? You will see it. You will see it. For God is not a man that he should lie. And the third question is this one. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Indeed. It's already happened. Look at the original creation. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis 1. Now, the earth didn't bring forth in one day because we have special farmers. In fact, we have the best tractors today, the best machinery today, the best agricultural science today. I mean, they are developing all kinds of hybrid seeds. Farming, you kidding me? Farming is a science today, specialized science. People go to college to learn about soils and plants and seeds and seasons, and it's a major, major science. What hasn't man done with tractors? But man, you cannot put, listen, only in fairy tales can Jack put bean seeds in the ground and wake up the next morning and have a beanstalk. Only in fairy tales can the earth be made to bring forth in one day. So you have fairy tales, you have fables and myths and fairy tales by men, or you have the biblical record where only God can cause the earth to bring forth in one day. So, Genesis chapter 1. Let's go there. Genesis 1. We'll read from verses 1 through 31.
The first book of Moses, called Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day.
Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day.
Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear.
And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea. And God saw that it was good.
Now, from this point on, you're going to see that on each and every day, God is going to cause the earth to bring forth in one day. Each day afterwards, on each given day, that day, God will command something to come forth out of the earth. Listen to this.
Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.
And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day.
Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.
And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens.
So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind. And every winged bird, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them.
Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.
So the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind.
And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
So you see, my brothers and sisters, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Sure. Look what God did in the 6 days of creation. On each given day, God did something new. That's what happens when God is in charge. That's when God is at the helm. That's what happens when God is the head of the church. He produces life. He brings order. He brings structure to, he brings order and structure to chaos. And then he begins to call things into existence. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Yes. Why? Because the earth is bringing forth? No. God is bringing forth. Shall a 1,000-member church, could it be established in one day? Of course. Why? Because of the pastor? No. Because of the deacons and the trustees? No. Because God is making it happen. He can do it. He has in the past. He will in the future. Now, let me give you two more examples. Think of Christ's death. Now, it says there Christ's resurrection, cross resurrection out. That is incorrect. That's Christ's death. Let's read in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. It says in Matthew 27, 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of their graves after his what? After whose resurrection? After Christ's resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, why was there a resurrection of these people? Why was there a resurrection of so many godly people when Christ resurrected? Why? Because of his death. Go to John chapter 12, John 12, 24. This is Jesus. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, referring to himself. He says, listen, if I don't die, what happens? The seed abides alone. But if it does die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Well, didn't Jesus die in Matthew 27? Wasn't he interred in the earth like a seed? Didn't he rise again on the third day? You see, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Well, it did on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus arose, and then along with Jesus, other people arose. Other saints that had already died rose from the dead along with Jesus and went back home. Can you imagine that? Your husband's been dead 5 years, and all of a sudden he's knocking on the door and asking for the keys of his truck. I mean, you would fall out on the ground. And that's what happened. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Well, it already happened on Resurrection Sunday. Who came forth in one day? Jesus. And along with Jesus, all those who trusted in him. Verily, verily, Jesus says in John 12:24, I say unto you, except the seed of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If I don't die, there won't be any conversions. If I don't die, people won't be saved. But if I do die, what happens? I will bring forth much what? Fruit. That's what happens. Now, here's another example. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. We want to start reading at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. This speaks of the general resurrection that is yet to take place. Let's listen.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Now, can you imagine the millions of people that will come out of the dust of the earth at that moment? You know, when God said, let the sea bring forth all the creatures, and there they were. Millions of creatures, millions of species in the sea, all the different birds. In one instance, God said, let there be fowl birds in the heavens. And there they were, the earth, the sea, the sun, the sky, brought forth in a moment, in a day. Well, Jesus will descend from heaven with the shout. And when he makes that shout, it's like a Creation Day proclamation. Let there be. And what will happen? The dead in Christ shall rise up. How many graves are going to be opened? An innumerable number. We can't even number the amount of people that are going to be coming out of their graves, shooting up out of the ground. Shall the earth bring forth in one day? Yes. The day of resurrection, they're all going to pop out. Why? Because God is involved.
Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
And there you have it. God has done it on so many different levels. God has produced fruit in one day in so many different categories. So, who has heard such a thing? We have. Why? Because we read the Bible. Who has seen such a thing? We have. Why? Because we read the Bible. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? We say, indeed. Sure it will happen. Why? Our God is capable of doing the impossible. What's impossible to man is quite easy for God. So, is a 1,000-member church out of the realm of possibility? Absolutely not. That's nothing compared to what God has already done. In fact, I would say we're shooting kind of low at 1,000 members. And that's only because based on the building God has given us, based on the real estate that we have, that's the best we can do. That's the max so far to believe God that he is with us and that he can do anything in a moment's notice. We'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study, to answer more questions with biblical answers. I want to close today's broadcast with Jimmy Davis singing When I Prayed Last Night. See you all at prayer at 6:50. God bless you.
Oh, my heart was so troubled that I knelt down to pray. It was then that I first saw the light. Jesus put his arms around me. I saw the scars in his hands. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. When I prayed last night, I heard my Savior say, come to me, I will make your burden light. Then we walked through the valley, and we stood by his grave. I saw Jesus when I prayed last my dear mother told me a long time ago, trust in Jesus, he will make your future bright. Now I understand the meaning of his wonderful love. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. When I prayed last night, I heard my Savior say, come to me, I will make your burden light. Then we walked through the valley, and we stood by his grave. I saw Jesus when I prayed last night. Love.